I think Auntie Eileen has known me since I was born. That's right. I was going to say, I've known her all my life. That is true, but I think, you know, when you're a baby, you don't really get to know someone. So she's known me all my life. Okay, and friends of the family and all our family know Uncle Tony and Auntie Eileen very well. We used to come down to visit. We used to come down in the summer for a couple of weeks, where a week or 2 weeks. It was always an exciting time coming down and staying there on the farm. And even dare I say it, bringing our the Sunday school from Norton down once upon a time in tents. Now, if you've been on the farm, it's lovely when the sun's shining. The sun wasn't shining. It bucketed down and there was mud everywhere. But it's a time that we've always remembered. It's an enjoyable time and fond memories I've had down there on the farm. And of course, the principal livestock on the farm is the chicken. And I went and thought about the times perhaps chickens are mentioned in the Bible. I've thought of three. There might be more, but I've thought of three to get our thoughts around. And I think that might work. Or do you go? And the first one I'd like to read from Luke and chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. And I'll start to read from verse 31. The same day there came certain of the Pharisees saying unto him, get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee. And he said unto them, go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and I do cures a day and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected or completed. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And verily I say unto you, you shall not see me until the time come when you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And the Lord bless the public reading of his word. It's an indictment, really, those passages that the Lord Jesus said on the history of Israel. Israel, that chosen nation that God had brought up out of Egypt, and God had brought into the land of Canaan. And the Lord Jesus says this, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killeth the prophets and stonest them. What an indictment there. They rejected the messengers of God. But this was even worse here. They were going to reject their Saviour. And I say, well, how do you know? Well, you said up there, Saviour rejected. What's this Saviour? Well, you know, when the Lord Jesus was born, the angel came and said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name means Jehovah Saviour. And that's why I've said the Saviour. He could say, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as he looked over Jerusalem and he said these things, he said this in love, didn't it? How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood over her wings, and you would not. He wanted to gather them, he wanted to brood, he wanted to protect them. But they wouldn't. They rejected him. His love for the people. But you know, that reminded me of his love for the world in general. For we read in John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Yes, John could say he came unto his own, and his own received him not. And so the world today rejects him, don't they? But as he came, and he came unto his own, we read there, they rejected him. When did they reject him? You would remember at the trial. You would remember the religious leaders of that day came and took him and paraded in front of Herod. And we read this there at the trial. Even though he could not find any fault in him, couldn't find anything that he had done wrong, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Right the way back, the prophet, right the way back, would say of him in Isaiah in chapter 53, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You know, a hymn writer took up those words and said, "Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came." And you know, that's true. The Lord Jesus here was one who came to seek and to save that which was lost, and they rejected him. They rejected him and they placed him upon a cross. We read, they led him out to be crucified. He was one who created the heavens and the earth. He was one who had come to save. And yet they rejected him and placed him upon a cross. But interestingly enough, Peter, standing there after the Lord Jesus had risen again from the dead and had ascended up to heaven, we read this in Acts in chapter 2 and verse 23. Another slant on that, and he said this: "Him," that's the Lord Jesus, "being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So, yes, man rejected him. Yes, they rejected him and placed him upon the cross. But in these verses, Peter is saying that it was all in God's great plan. It was in his determinate counsel and full knowledge. He knew what was going to happen. There's a chorus that says, "Knowing we would bruise him and smite him from the earth." And this was all in God's plan of salvation. God sent his Son, we've sung. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. And this was all in God's plan. Another chorus writer would take it up and say, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the gulf that God did span at Calvary." And so, as yes, they rejected him. Yes, he would have loved to have gathered them just as that chicken under the wings to protect them. And they rejected him and they were made desolate. The nation was made desolate. But so the offer comes to each and every one of us today. You know, still today, many reject him. Many to many, he's still despised. But still, this day of salvation is open to all. He's able to save to the uttermost. And he's able to save you and me this evening. And as we go on, as we think about some of the other chickens and cockerels and that are mentioned in the Bible, let us remember who the Lord Jesus is, that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. and he wants to save you and me. The next one I want to take you over to the Gospel of John and chapter 13. And for we'll All right, we'll start at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, this is the Lord Jesus speaking to his disciples, says that ye love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest thou? And Jesus answered him, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Saviour refused. If perhaps the last thoughts was more everyone outside, the whole world. And sometimes when we say, for God so loved the world, we can say, yes, yes, God loves the world and he sent his son. And, you know, all of these things are very nice, but I'd like to get perhaps slightly more personal. And with Peter, it was a personal refusal of knowing the Lord Jesus. For when we turn over into John and chapter 18, we see the Lord is taken before Caiaphas. You know, Peter here is boasting, oh, I wherever you go, and I'll lay down my life for you, whatever happens. It wasn't long after they all forsook him and fled there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter secretly follows the Lord Jesus as they led him to Caiaphas. There, the high priest, where he was to be so cruelly treated and then led on to his trial. And there in John chapter 18 and verse 17, we read, first of all, there's a servant girl comes to him and says, well, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And what did he say? Oh, no, I'm not. And a bit later on, we see there by the fire. And the servants and the officers are there by the fire. And they said, well, didn't we see you in the garden? And, oh, no, I'm not one of his disciples. And in verse 27, it happened again. And in another gospel, we read this, that he with oaths and curses says, no. And at that point, the cock crew. A very sad episode in the life of Peter. But it didn't matter how great Peter thought he was. It doesn't matter how founded upon the Lord Jesus and how far he was going to follow him, he was. He still denied him. Denied him three times, just as the Lord Jesus would say. And at that point, the Lord Jesus looked at him. And he had to go out and wept bitterly, we read. You know, the Bible says that each and every one of us has fallen. We've fallen short of the glory of God. There's a verse in the Bible that says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And it's just as Isaiah says to the people, our sins have separated us from us and our God. And it doesn't, we can't do things in our own way. Peter wanted to do things in his own strength. And we very often want to do that ourselves, don't we? Yes, we believe perhaps that God so loved the world that he gave the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus died, yes. And we believe in a God, but is that one our Saviour? Is that one our Lord? If we come and put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what we need to do is as Peter did. He repented. He was in tears. He knew that he had done wrong. You know, there can come to a time in our life when we come and we say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I have sinned. I can't do anything before a holy God. And all we can do is depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at Peter, after the Lord Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, he comes to Peter, doesn't he? There, as they went fishing, he comes to him on the shoreline. And as they were having breakfast, as it were, he says to him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." He says it three times. And it was there that Peter knew and acknowledged his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, knew the forgiveness of the Saviour. Even though he denied him, even though he'd refused him, he knew, he found the forgiveness that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've already read in Acts chapter 2 of Peter standing up in front of all those people. Yes, he might have rejected the Lord Jesus and refused the Lord Jesus then and denied him. But there he was in front of all the people and he spoke about the Lord Jesus and he spoke about how he died and how he rose again, even though they'd put him to death. And he said that they needed to repent and be baptized. And that message of Peter comes through to us today. That we too need to come and personally say, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus Christ died for me. And we need to come and accept him into our hearts and into our lives. I've always thought of it as easy as the ABC. We need to accept. We need to believe. And we need to commit our lives to him. Hymn number 232. His hands were pierced, the hands that made the mountain range and everglade, that washed the stains of sin away and changed earth's darkness into day. His hands and feet and heart, all three, were pierced for me on Calvary. And here and now, to him I bring my hands, my feet, heart, hands, feet, heart, and offering. Hymn number 232. For our final thought on chickens this evening, I'd like to take you to Psalm and chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91, and I think we'll take the time to read the whole of the psalm. Psalm 91, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fleeth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noontide. 1,000 shall fall by at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is thy refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I shall answer him, and I shall be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. I'm always reminded of a story, and I'm sure these stories actually change each time they're told. But I always remember this story because it was told at the Beach Missions by a man called David Wilcox. And he used to have these cards, and he always used to do them on big booklets, that's right. And he said about this story that there was a fire, and a horrendous fire, and as they put the in the undergrowth, as they put the fire out, the firemen were going along, and they saw what they thought was just a clod of earth. And as they were beating it, they hit it over, and all these chicks came out. And the actual clod of earth was the mother. And when the fire had come, she'd spread her wings over them. And she'd perished, but the chicks had survived. And you know, that's what this psalm's about, isn't it? Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we've said, went to the cross of Calvary. But if we come and we put our faith and trust in him, we can be underneath his wing. Verse 4 says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. He shall be thy shield and buckler. It is our someone that we can rely on. He finds security. He finds refuge and fortress. He's got his faith in God. And that word faith has the idea of forsaking all, trusting in the Lord and trusting in him. There is that testimony at the end, because he hath set his love upon me, says God, therefore will I deliver him. Do we love God? Do we love him? Have we put our love upon him? We love him because he first loved us. I was set upon him because he hath known my name. He called upon me, and I will answer him. Is that our response this evening? That yes, Peter and us, we deny him, but. And because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but Peter knew what it was to be saved, knew what it was to be restored. Do we know that? And so he covers us. Verse 3, with salvation, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fire and from the noisome pestilence. He saves us. And that word save is not just saved, we're saved, yes, now. We're saved from the penalty of sin. We're saved from the power of sin today, and in a day to come we'll be saved from the penalty of sin in a day to come, and the presence of sin when he comes again. And then there's the protection that we can have in him, that he's there. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the sorrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence, nor the destruction. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh to thee. If we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, and we know him as the one who is our refuge, we can know his protection. You know, things do go, it doesn't mean that the Christian's life is the easiest. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go whizzing by and everything will be brilliant. I'm not saying that. And there are troubles, just as anyone that the Christian that you go through as Christians. But the Christian is able to rely on one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the words that Paul says to the Romans, he says, look, he says, all things work together for good to them that love God. All things. And you think of that and say, well, how can that be? There's certain things that I can't understand that could ever work together for good. You think of poor Joseph. There he was in that prison for 2 years. How could he ever think that anything was going well for him? But there, as he looked back, he said, look, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He said to his brothers. Of Job, how could anything be for good for Job? But he had more at his end of his life than the beginning. God was with him and God protects him. And we can know the protection of God in our lives. Verse 8, he says this, open thine eyes and thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. Open thine eyes. We can be guided by him, led by him day by day. If we're underneath those wings, he can lead us to that right spot. The people of Israel knew that. They were guided by his presence in the daytime by the pillar of cloud, and in the nighttime by the pillar of fire. And we can rely upon the word of God. If we read the word of God and we read it and we pray, we can be guided by him through his word day by day in our lives. In verse 15, if we come down to verse 15, we see something of his presence. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. You know, that is amazing, isn't it? To know the Lord Jesus with us day by day. The Lord Jesus says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There's that story, isn't it, of the footprints as they're going down through that sand. And at times there was only one footprint and you look back and you say, well, why weren't you with me there? And the Lord says, that's when I carried you. He is with us. You know, the people of Israel came to the River Jordan. And God said, right, what I want you to do, I want you to take the Ark of the Covenant, which would speak of the presence of God. It's where he dwelt. And I want you to go down, I want the priest to go down before you. And the river went over, didn't I? And they went into the middle. So God went before them as they went through. And so they had to stop in the middle and the people all went through the river. So when we're in the midst of the river, God is with us. He's with us and he's supporting them. And you would see as they all went out afterwards, the presence of God went behind them and the river closed them. The Lord is with us. The Lord goes before us. The Lord is with us in the midst. He's behind us. He's all around us. His presence is with us if we know him as our Saviour and are trusting him just as those chicks there underneath his wing. And verse 16 is a lovely verse, isn't it? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. A life with the Lord Jesus Christ. A life with God. You know, our verse that I said right at the beginning was, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not a life, that's a life that starts now. It's a quality of a life and it's a life that will go on with the Lord Jesus Christ. For just as he is with us and he's like those covering us with his feathers. Right in the end, in Revelation chapter 21, with the new heaven and the new earth, he says this, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto them that are thirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He said, he comes, he says, behold, I make all things new. And he will be with us. With us. Day by for eternity. We'll be with him. So we've thought of something of chickens this evening. We've thought of that which is a rejection, and they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and the world in some way still does today, doesn't it? They rejected him and placed him upon the cross, but it was still in the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, God's plan of salvation. We thought of Peter there individually, who denied him. Are you still denying him, or have you, like Peter, realized your sin and have come and have put your faith and your trust in him? And so, like the psalmist, who knew what it was to be covered by those feathers, knew what it was to be under his protection, under his guidance, under his preservation, under his love, and having that life, that eternal life through him, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that we have, and we know that for reality in our hearts, day by day, for his name's sake. Prayer. Oh God and our Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence again, and we just give thee our thanks for the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that even though he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who was the creator, became the redeemer, was willing to be taken by the creatures whom he created, and was taken to the cross. And we thank thee there that in those hours of darkness he could cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That there he was made sin who knew no sin. We pray, Lord, that we may, like Peter, just acknowledge our sin, that we might come and know that forgiveness that he is able to give us, and put our faith and trust in him, and know that thou art a God who is willing to cover us with thy wings, and to protect us, and to guide us, and to preserve us. And we thank thee that as we've sung of that time coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again and take those that love him to be with him. Or if we pass away and loved ones that have gone before that are in his breath, we pray, Lord, that in that day, we look forward to that day when we will be with him. We would say even so, come, Lord Jesus. So bless us now as we would part in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.